We're back again in the book of Numbers. And we're going to do Numbers 8 and 9, a couple of short chapters. And there are some interesting things I'd like to talk about this book. Remember last week, it was all about one of the longest chapters that ever we read. And it was a pretty good reading. But an awful lot of things we learned about what was going on. Remember what this is, the first of the month of the second year. Now we have already gone past the 12th day of the month in chapter 7. So let's get our time slot where we're at when we read chapter 8 and 9 and continue on. All right? That's all I want to keep that point in mind where we are at right now at the time cycle.
And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron, and say to him, When you arrange the lamps, the seven lamps shall give light in front of the lampstand. And Aaron did so. He arranged the lamps to face toward the front of the lampstand, as the Lord commanded Moses. Now this workmanship of the lampstand was hammered gold. From its shaft to its flowers it was hammered work, according to the pattern which the Lord had shown Moses. So he made the lampstand. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Take the Levites from among the children of Israel, and cleanse them ceremonially. Thus you shall do to them to cleanse them. Sprinkle water of purification on them, and let them shave all their body, and let them wash their clothes, and so make themselves clean. Then let them take a young bull with its grain offering of fine flour mixed with oil, and you shall take another young bull as a sin offering. And you shall bring the Levites before the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall gather together the whole congregation of the children of Israel. So you shall bring the Levites before the Lord, and the children of Israel shall lay their hands on the Levites. And Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord, like a wave offering from the children of Israel, that they may perform the work of the Lord. Then the Levites shall lay their hands on the heads of the young bulls, and you shall offer one as a sin offering, and the other as a burnt offering to the Lord, to make atonement for the Levites. And you shall stand the Levites before Aaron and his sons, and then offer them like a wave offering to the Lord. Thus you shall separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. After that the Levites shall go into service, the tabernacle of meeting, so you shall cleanse them and offer them like a wave offering. For they are wholly given to me from among the children of Israel. I have taken them for myself, instead of all who opened the womb, the firstborn of all the children of Israel. For all of the firstborn among the children of Israel are mine, both man and beast. On the day that I struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them to myself. I have taken the Levites instead of all the firstborn of the children of Israel, and I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and his sons from among the children of Israel, to do the work for the children of Israel in the tabernacle of meeting, and to make atonement for the children of Israel, that there be no plague among the children of Israel when the children of Israel come near the sanctuary. Thus Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel did to the Levites, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so the children of Israel did to them. And the Levites purified themselves and washed their clothes. Then Aaron presented them like a wave offering before the Lord, and Aaron made atonement for them to cleanse them. After that, the Levites went in to do their work in the tabernacle of meeting before Aaron and his sons, as the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so they did to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, This is what pertains to the Levites. From 25 years old and above, one may enter to perform service in the work of the tabernacle of meeting. And at the age of 50 years, they must cease performing this work, and shall work no more. They may minister with their brethren in the tabernacle of meeting to attend to needs, but they themselves shall do no work. Thus you shall do to the Levites regarding their duties. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Let the children of Israel keep the Passover at its appointed time. On the 14th day of this month, at twilight, you shall keep it at its appointed time. According to all its rites and ceremonies, you shall keep it. So Moses told the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month, at twilight, in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did. Now there were certain men who were defiled by a human corpse, so that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and Aaron that day. And those men said to him, We became defiled by a human corpse. Why are we kept from presenting the offering of the Lord at its appointed time among the children of Israel? And Moses said to them, Stand still, that I may hear what the Lord will command concerning you. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, If any one of you or your posterity is unclean because of a corpse, or is far away on a journey, he may still keep the Lord's Passover. On the 14th day of the second month at twilight, they may keep it. They shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it until morning, nor break one of its bones. According to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it. But the man who is clean and is not on a journey and ceases to keep the Passover, that same person shall be cut off from among his people, because he did not bring the offering of the Lord at its appointed time. That man shall bear his sin. And if a stranger dwells among you and would keep the Lord's Passover, he must do so according to the rite of the Passover and according to its ceremony. You shall have one ordinance, both for the stranger and the native of the land. Now on the day that the tabernacle was raised up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony from evening until morning. It was above the tabernacle like the appearance of fire. So it was always, the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, after that the children of Israel would journey, and in the place where the cloud settled, there the children of Israel would pitch their tents. At the command of the Lord, the children of Israel would journey, and at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud stayed above the tabernacle, they remained encamped. Even when the cloud continued long, many days above the tabernacle, the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and did not journey. So it was, when the cloud was above the tabernacle a few days, according to the command of the Lord, they would remain encamped, and according to the command of the Lord, they would journey. So it was, when the cloud remained only from evening until morning, when the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they would journey, whether by day or by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up, they would journey. Whether it was 2 days, a month, or a year that the cloud remained above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would remain encamped and not journey. But when it was taken up, they would journey. At the command of the Lord, they remained encamped, and at the command of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord, at the command of the Lord, by the hand of Moses.
A few comments first before we ask for comments. A couple of interesting words here I'd like to be able to clarify, because it doesn't seem to make sense, and the reason why your translation translates that way is because they have a hard time really translating it the way it really is written. And it has to do with the 7th verse of chapter 8. And I'm going to read from the Old King James so you kind of understand. And thus shalt thou, talking to Moses, do unto them to tahor them, sprinkle water of sin upon them, and let them shave all their flesh, let them wash their clothes and make themselves clean. Most of your translations, they didn't know what to do with that thing. And so they used the word purification or purify. But the word is sin. The word is what we call missing the mark, or call it, what's another word I can use? An offense. Now, when we look at that in our English language, or even the Hebrew, it's kind of hard to figure out what was the object here. Well, make a story real simple and short. The water, don't think this little sprinkle, you know, dad, you know, it's like taking a shower. These men had to take a shower. There was no water there, so the water was basically dumped upon them or sprained upon them by others or by somebody. And it was object up to make themselves what? Tahor. Make themselves clean. Including to the point, which is really strange for us to picture, all the hair was removed from off the flesh. Doesn't say head, doesn't say beard, it says off the flesh. Which is kind of odd to our thinking. But whether we like it or don't like it, or agree with it or don't agree with it, doesn't matter. The point is that the water that was sprinkled, quote, in a sprinkle, is because of to make them clean. And that means removing the offense, removing the sin and transgressions, from the Levites. And we get into more detail about the Levites here in a minute. So it's one of those verses that kind of throw you a curve. And if you read it in Hebrew, it would throw you off. You would have no idea what it's talking about. And so in our English language, they did this, and they translated it to, well, they weren't sinning. No, it was a purification to purify them. Well, yeah, it was. Purify them from the not just from sin, but they must be tahor, must be completely clean. And there's a physical thing that took place, right? So a physical thing tells you something about a spiritual thing. Because off the flesh must be cleaned all the way down to the flesh. And it's kind of an interesting approach. Next thing I want to talk about, and then we'll go into this thing, is a very interesting word which I have not talked about before. And we'll go down to verse 9. And thou shalt bring the Levite before the tabernacle of the, and your word you have there, most of your translations probably say congregation, right? Or assembly. What is it?
Meeting.
Or a meeting, all right? The Hebrew word is very interesting. All right, you'll recognize it. Omer. Appointed time. We get the word Omer, Moadim, comes from this one. Now the meat of this very interesting word this means that they were to be there at an appointed time, not just any time. This particular point, remember we are on the first month of the second year after the 12th. Or at least maybe on the 12th, but it's the 12th month, 12th day, because of chapter 7 tells you how long it took them to do that function, and it took them 12 days to do that function. And we're still in the first month and the first time of this beginning of the month. So it's a very interesting, when you use the word assembly, and it has a very interesting meaning. And the thing it says down there in verse 9 is to gather together the whole assembly of the children. Now, this does not mean, I've explained it before, it doesn't not mean literally them all. Who do you think was there? The ones that were named in chapter 1 and chapter 7. Those are the ones God named to be at that point in time. Now, another interesting word about this is that they were there for a reason. When they laid their hands upon the Levite, not every Levite, but the leaders of the Levite family, they were to do something. Now, when you start thinking about, say, every member of the entire house of Israel, there was how many? If there were 360,000 men, or 600,000 men, really how long would it take for that many men to go along and put their hands on everybody? So that doesn't make sense. Now, Hebrew knows, and history knows, they're talking about the leadership. Every time God names leadership in chapter 1 and leadership in chapter 7, he also names it in chapter 10. We're talking about those who stand. We talked about that before, right? Those leaders are the ones who stand in the place of their tribe. Explained that before in chapter 7. And so now they represent that. And it's very interesting. And it's very interesting that this word that has been, you know, I told you it has to do with has to do with a stranger or an assembly, has to do with one who stand to be assembled. They are to be there and they are to be assembled. So this particular day, what day of the month it was, I do not know. But very fascinating that we have the very next chapter telling us about something else. And that was about what? The Passover. Now, Passover begins at what? What day did the Passover start? The 14th day. So we're looking here, possibly the 13th day. It's when God now separates all the Levites. Previously, well, I read, he already separated Aaron and his sons and the three families of the priesthood. They're over here. Now, Levites now were going to be set aside for something different. And we read about that, and we'll get more in detail later, perhaps. But we see here a pattern. So we have to ask, what is it that we're seeing here? What is it that God wants us to see? One more thing I want to say, and then I'll let you comment. Way back during the time of Abraham, he was told what was going to happen. God set this whole thing up. He set that put the people of Israel into bondage for a reason. Then he brought them to the very spot where he gave his commandments and all the trials they went through for 50 days to get there. And they're what he wanted to test them out on, prove them out, test them out on. And we think they just complained. No, he did this for purpose, for what one reason, and that is to do what? Remember? To prove whether or not you will do what I want you to do. Now, way back in Abraham's day, he was told that. And now we're going through, we're going to read as we keep on going through the book of the Numbers. You're going to recognize there's a pattern that comes up again. And sometimes we point the pattern and saying, oh, human beings, let us believe God, oh, human beings. But God puts them in a situation where they're going to have to make a decision. I have a friend who mentioned something today. When you're down to nothing, God's doing something. That's a good statement. If you're down and out, have nothing, God is doing something. He's just not sitting down doing nothing himself. And when you look at the Israelites, for 40 years, he put this through them. That's a very long time. We have a tendency to blame people. What I try to do is find out what God is doing. I find out what God is doing. I try to be an observer of how God actually handles everybody. Every one of you, I watch and see and wait. Watch and see and wait. I don't tell you how you should live. I don't tell you what kind of work you should do. I don't tell whether you should do the Sabbath or should not do the Sabbath. I don't tell you anything. I just wait and see what God is going to do with you. Because you know what? He knows what he's doing. And if I try to second guess him, that's what I'm doing. Second guessing him. Maybe last guessing him. I'm way off the base. This is the reason why I told you many, many times before, and I'll say again today. I don't look to see if I could find fault in you. I don't look to see if I could find an error in you. I don't look to see whether or not you're living up to the Word of God. That's not my job. My job is just to tell you and show you what is written. God will let that happen to you in your private life. All right, any comments? Either one of the chapters.
Levites, did they marry within their own tribe, or could they marry someone from an other tribe?
They had to marry. No, the priests had remained in their own family. Right. The Levite was a different group of people. They separated them for a reason. Why did he separate them for? To what?
To serve the
priesthood. Now, God said something very unusual, and he read it very strange. You know what it is, a wave offering? The weird word. Do you know what that word means in Hebrew? Back and forth. Back. How often do we do this thing of the Hodu Adonai? That's what you're doing. Do exactly what the priests do. Back and forth. You're waving something to God. In that case, that song, what are you waving to him? Thank you. That seems weird, doesn't it? Why can't we just, you know, sit down, thank you, God, let's get on to business. No, actually, sometimes he likes to see action happen, I guess you might say. Your whole body is moving when you're doing that, you know. The only thing I had to worry about today was I had two very tall men on both sides of me today. I had to make sure that neither one of them hit me as their hands came back. Yeah, and my son Daniel and this guy over here, he's hit me a couple of times. His hands are so big and massive, you know, wow, wow, okay, back away. That's the only guy I was concerned about in today's day. Oh, these two big guys, they're gonna hit, I'm going to get hit today. I made sure. You know. But, you know, so it's going to, and it's not to and fro, it's a bad terminology, but it's the waving back and forth. And yes, it can be lifting up. It can mean to stand. Or sin, rather, or shake. Shake is kind of an odd word because we don't want to do that. It really means you're moving your body back and forth, especially with your hands. Yes?
The priesthood is separate from the Levites?
Yes, the priesthood is separate from the Levites.
So where did the priests get chosen from? Each tribe? Or no. From the tribe of Levi?
They came from Levi, the man Levi. And he had three sons. One of the sons had was Aaron, and the other three, I can't remember the names off. They became what's called the priesthood. The rest of the family of Levi were to work for them. Not every Levite is a priest, but all priests are Levites. All right, it's not that hard to figure out, right? Yeah. That's how God is.
I loved how God gave provision for even those who were dirtied, so to speak, or whatever, by the corpse, defiled was the word, that he gave them provision for the second month, the same day. So, and without going against his word of clean and unclean, we would probably say, oh, you know, that's okay. Why don't you just come on in and celebrate with us? It's all right. We'll make an exception. That would be probably something we would do as people.
Yeah, we would do people.
But God is God, and he does not violate his own principles and his own laws.
So therefore,
commands.
We should violate them?
No. But it's just really neat. He didn't violate his command. He made provision for this special occasion or mishap, you might call it.
It should remind you of a parable that Yeshua said. The what? The Good Samaritan, but one more, but the wedding. The king, while we bring him in, the head begins, but one of them wasn't clean. Out you go. So you know, yeah, the truth is, when you come before the creator of heaven and earth, and by the way, what was the function of the Levites? It's to help the priesthood so they would sanctify the people of Israel. That was their job. That was their function. That's what they did for a living.
I wish I was a Levite. I think my second year of retirement.
Well, no, that's not what it says. Got to be careful what it's telling you.
You don't retire, you go do something else, which the last verse, I think, in that book tells you what you must do. I thought I could get away with it too. It didn't work. You know, I'm at the other side. Yes.
There. These people that were helping the people were working all the time. So see, you would have been working more hours than you did before.
Yeah. No, the Levite were not to touch. They were not to set up the tabernacle. They were not to foundation. They were not to touch those things. That was up to the priesthood. So there's other things they had to do. What do you think they had to do? That clean them all up, put it on the mat. They probably go in there and clean up stuff. You know, we don't know. I don't have the full picture. But they were not allowed to do the things that we think they are allowed to do. Because they were not of the royal, I mean, not of the priesthood family. All right? Now God works that way. We may think He's got a hierarchy thing. Well, then He's got a hierarchy thing. Chapter 8, verse 17. Remember, he's separated. Oh, didn't you have a question?
Yeah, in fact, that's the verse I was going to ask you. Since I said before, there's no possessive case, then how does he say, the firstborn of the children of Israel are mine?
Yep.
So how does God use the word are mine or his if there's no possessive case? And second question, children of Israel. Now, children is
in Hebrew, that's men.
All the way
sons.
All the way through this chapter is the word children of Israel.
Yeah, but that's not the word. The children is a different word in Hebrew.
Oh, okay.
Taught a different word. What's the word for child and children? You remember right offhand? Yeladim. So what?
Yeladim.
Yeladim. Okay, yeah. That's the word for children of Israel. That would be that word be used. Here it's not. What does the word mean? What is it? Why do they use the word for a man to be called the son? What does that word mean? Ben. Okay, way back and you know the other few books back. There's a book of it starts with a G. Genesis, that's what it was. And toward the very end of Genesis, there was a guy named, I think it was Israel? Or was it Jacob? It was Israel, wasn't it? Yeah, okay. So I'm getting my story straight up. He talked about his firstborn son. That's what they are. Go back and read the 29th chapter of Genesis. That's the function of the firstborn. Now, we have with that in mind now, God, when He brought them out of the house of Israel, out of Egypt, He wanted the firstborn, right? And He says, they're mine. Now, the firstborn is supposed to do something. And that's what Genesis 29th chapter tells you. Yes?
The issue of belonging. It's not like we have a pronoun, from what I understand. It's not like we have a mine, but the word shall means belongs to. So it's not a tense, it's a separate word. It's not tacked to the word, like a lot of Hebrew words have prefixes and suffixes attached. But the word shall means belongs to.
It's as simple as
that. It doesn't have an apostrophe S on it. Right.
Right, no apostrophe S. That's very common in Hebrew, that word. It's probably one of the most used words, I think. One of the most used words. Asher? You know, there's a yeah, Asher, yeah. There you got the word share in there. And it can be translated, it's a pronoun, it's translated very specifically four different ways. Depends how it's used in the text. And that's very important. Yeah, I'll share, yeah. Remember what that is?
Yeah. I come from the word came. I came and I came. Literally, that's what the sacred quote name means. Comes from a verb meaning came. And so he went down and Moses said, who are you? And he says, I came that I came. That's who tell. That's who you tell them. That's literal translation of the word which we translated, we rattle off as Yahuwah, Yahweh, or Jehovah, or what other word we might want to use. Then he said to tell them, I came, sent you. Remember, that's what it says there in Exodus. You tell them, I came. Okay. Why would he say that? Now think back. Why would he say, I came? He promised somebody he was going to come. Abraham. And I came to fulfill the promise that I gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's where that word comes from. This is the reason why you have one song we have is, what is that song we sing? It's a holy unto you. No, holy, holy, holy. Kadosh. And in the translation, the bottom line says, who was and who is and is to come. Do you mean, those all three is the word from came. I came. Three comes. Three words for a past word, past perfect word in Hebrew is came. Coming is not perfect. To come is not perfect. Came is perfect. You know what I'm saying? Think Hebrew. Hebrew is verb base. It is perfect verb base. Never present verb base, nor future verb base. It is past perfect base. That's why you have to look at it when you study Hebrew. If you don't, you're going to... We have it in our English because our English has a hard time thinking in past tense. We either think now or the future. Yeah, that's what we do in English. I'm way off my case here. Okay, at 17th verse, he says, all the firstborn of, and it should say, the sons of Israel are mine. Because remember we read that previously. He says, all the males that are born are mine who come forth from the womb. It's very, very important to know that. And if you go back to Genesis 29th chapter and read what he says about Reuben, then you'll understand what that means. Okay? When you read that, you read the story of the position of Yahshua. That's what he was. That's why he's the firstborn of the many brethren. Prophecy about how he is going to rule. Not Reuben. Men always collapse. Men never fulfill the will of God. They struggle all their life to try to understand and do what God wants them to do. And they're bespoke, they're overcome by the things of this world. And so that's God's plan. Not my plan. It's his plan. And that's the reason when he read in the first John that, we're going to fall short. What's new about that? Well, don't take it for granted that you fall short. When you fall short, what are you supposed to do? Become tahor. Clean. That's what you do. And you stop going that direction. You stop that. You don't continue on in it. Is I have smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt. In a weird word, I sanctified them for myself. Wow. Who did sanctify? There are two interpretations of this one, and you can take one or the other. All right. He's saying the one that he sanctified referring to the Levites,
because the Levites became the firstborn. The very next verse says, he has taken Levites for all the firstborn, the children of Israel, or all the sons of Israel. And the other one is that the Egyptians were sanctified. And God said, they're mine. And he took them. That's the second meaning of that word. Now we say, well, that doesn't really work out, because you know how horrible and rotten and filthy and crummy those people were. However, the book of Prophets says, Egypt is my what? Egypt is my what? Beloved one. Now we say, that can't be true. Yes.
Did he even the score?
Hebrew teaches, the Jewish people teach you that, but that's not what's going on. He has not evened the score, because the person he has to even the score with happened during the time of Yahshua. He evened the score then. Then that's when Yahshua said, now the devil is judged. That's the score that had to be even, not with Egypt or Egyptians, but with the real enemy of mankind. Am I just lost everybody there? I know that. But sometimes we want God to take vengeance upon flesh and blood. And he says, well, yeah, vengeance are mine. I'm going to do the repaying. Did he take vengeance when he took his son's life? Yes. Did he pay? Yes. Now, the hope of mankind is really within his son and nobody else. And for us to come up here, my personal opinion, this is Richard Agee's personal opinion, for us to put a condemnation against a group of people that none of us ever met or knew who they were, because they were pagans, you know, they did evil things, they killed people, they slaughtered, they ate people. People do that today. I'm letting God make that final decision, not me. Yes.
Sounds like he, not even the score in the sense of hit them because he's mad, but that he bought them back.
He bought them back.
Because it says, I sanctified them. I struck the firstborn in the land of Egypt. I sanctified them to myself. Like he redeemed them in a sense, or bought them back.
Now, what is the word sanctify in Hebrew? What's this word in sanctify? Kadosh. I made them holy.
Ooh.
Oh, I don't think he did. I don't think he did. Did he? Did he make him holy that day? I don't know. That's a second school of thought. I'm not going to tell you one way or the other. Just do some thinking that when God, you know, when we go into more study, well, Daniel went through some that massive killing that took place in the book of Joshua and the book of Judges, and even during the time of 1 and 2 Samuel. And the people are slaughtered. Men, women, children, everything wiped out. We say, oh man, what a pagan, horrible, rotten, perverted society Israel was. In our thinking of today, modern 21st century, they are evil, rotten, corrupt, and filthy people. And they just did it and said, God just told me to do it, so I did it. That's a... Stop and think about this for a moment. Even today, if God actually, the creator of heaven and earth, actually came down and told an army, I want you to go over there and I want you to wipe every human being off the face of this earth, kill every one of them, from man, woman, and child, don't let them live. We would say, God, you're one not loving person, are you? But his word does do exactly that. Now, what is that supposed to teach us? To fear God. He'll spare our life if we fear God. When the great horrible thing is going to happen on the face of this earth, who gets wiped out first? The tares. And your next door neighbor, what you have been friends with, you love, and you have gone fishing with, camping with, celebrated with, maybe on a racetrack with them, they're dead. Maybe it's your mom. Maybe it's your dad. Maybe it's your brother. Maybe it's your son. Maybe it's your daughter. Are dead. What are you going to think? You know, Pretty serious, isn't it? I want to get on to the next chapter here. To the ninth chapter real quickly. I thought nothing was worth. Anyway, never mind. I'll go to the very latter part of this chapter. They kept the Passover, and you know, and some of them couldn't do it because they were had touched a dead body or had to deal with a dead body, and so on and so forth. But I'm going to go down to verse 15 of the ninth chapter. Very fascinating here. Now remember, as we go through the book of Numbers, it's going to name 42 places where the cloud moved and the cloud stopped. All of those places are the places where the Creator of heaven and earth put them. A lot. Sometimes for days, sometimes for months. Sometimes it would move in the middle of the night. Guess what you got to do? Get up and go. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I take a little nap. No, you better get up, move. And that they did. And remember that statement here. It's very fascinating. I'm going to go through a few of these things. Verse 16, talking about this cloud covering the tabernacle. Some of you have in your translations, namely, the tent of testimony. That phrase, namely, doesn't exist. It says, basically it says, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony. What is the testimony? The Ten Commandments. The word for that, you know, but that we think about the Ten Commandments, that word in Hebrew is the testimony. What's a covenant? Well, that's the testimony. That's a witness. It's testifying. This is where God says, I will testify. My word will testify against you. He's talking about the testimony that was in that ark. All right? So this cloud, that's where it hovered. We had the big tabernacle. You know, well, I have a picture, a drawing of it, and a small one up here. That's where the cloud was at. That's the small one. Where the throne was, or we call it the throne, or we call it the mercy seat, that's where it was at. During daytime, it was a cloud. How many of you know what color it was? Black. During the night, it was bright. Just the opposite, we think, you know. But it was a dark cloud. Not necessarily a black cloud, a dark cloud. And when it moved, guess what? Verse 17. When the cloud was taken up, Israel journeyed. When the cloud abode, Israel pitched their tents. Verse 17, verse 18. The commandment of Yahuwah, Israel journeyed. The commandment of Yahuwah, they pitched. 19. The cloud tarried long. Israel kept the charge. Journeyed not. The cloud was a few days. The commandment, they abode in their tents. And they a commandment, and they journeyed. When it didn't stay, when it's time to move, moved. Verse 21. Cloud was taken up in the morning. They journeyed. When it was in the day or night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. The cloud tarried, Israel abode. When it was taken up, they journeyed. The commandment of Yahuwah, they rested. At the commandment of Yahuwah, they journeyed. So who do you think was in charge? And it says they kept this charge. They kept his charge in the entire 40 years. They did do. Now, sometimes in our world, we get impatient with God because he doesn't answer it. Maybe because he hasn't moved.
He hasn't moved on your situation. He hasn't moved on your troubles, your trials, your difficulty. He's staying perfectly still. Now, why would God not do something for you? Going to test you out. I mean, over and over, we've gotten this far from Genesis all the way to here. He's going to test you out. Will you wait? Okay. And what's going to happen? You know, how many? I'm going to tell you a story. We talked about, I guess this rapture supposed to come. This okay. On I was quote, end of quote. I was supposed to have been raptured on August the 5th in 1943. That's what my mother said. Forget about religion. Bambo. Because yeah, her life, everything was based upon it, and it didn't happen. Bambo. No more religion. She fell for it, hook, line, and sinker, and she felt like a stupid, idiotic jerk from that point on. And she disappeared. Family didn't know where she was at. She just left, and they didn't let her know. She didn't let anybody know who. Only one brother hunted her down many, many years later. And then he found out where she was at. Much, much older then. But no, nothing to do. It was one of those things that you think, oh, there is no God. That's a total joke. You know. Anyway, if there's no more comments.
What about 1986 in prophecy?
No, there's 70. The only reason why I know that it happened on August 5th, 1943, that was the day my father was killed. Well, no, don't think that's great, you know, great, great, wonderful, great, horrible, mama. No, no. It was good that he did die. He was not a good man. He was a man who beat his wife and was going to kill his wife and kill all of us. That day, he died instead. Now, I can look back and I can say, okay, I don't know what you're going to think about when he resurrected up. I'm saying, hi, Dad. Who are you? Well, I'm your boss now. I'm going to be kinder to you than you were, because I'm going to try to preserve your life for eternity. I don't need to know the details. I just want you to know. You have a chance to live forever. Will you hear me out? The past is over with. Start anew. Nothing has to be brought up. All I have is give him the present, future, that he has a chance for eternal life. That's the only thing that matters to me. Nothing he did in the past means nothing to me. He paid the price. He didn't have to pay for it anymore. It cost him his life.